Joining me today is Craig Gerasi. Craig spent 20 years building products at Microsoft, Amazon, and startups, and he's the author of a new book, Beyond AI Models, Enduring AI Product Leadership Principles for a Changing Landscape. Craig, take me back to your college days. First of all, what were your dreams and aspirations then? Would your former self be surprised to what you're doing today?
Probably not. It wasn't until about sophomore year in college where, you know, you're trying to determine what your major is. And I had a really good counselor at that time who said, you know, why don't you try taking a programming class? And I just dove right in and I really enjoyed the programming aspect of it. And I think it was about senior year in college, I built a data recovery application that worked better than most commercial solutions at that time. I did what I could to get it marketed and distributed. So that's kind of my first foray into, you know, building something tangible. And I think that that was one of the reasons why I was able to get hired at Microsoft is because I was able to tell them about an application that I had developed on my own time, senior year in college, extended it from there.
You spent 2 decades shipping products at some of the biggest names in tech, Microsoft, Amazon. But what made you decide that AI needed its own leadership playbook instead of just borrowing traditional product management?
Yeah. So the AI space today, there's so much churn going on. It seems like every time you go to a news site or LinkedIn or Reddit, you read about some new capability, this new thing that it's doing. It's summarizing information or it's leading to potential layoffs, things like that. So what I tried to do is find what is unique and kind of stable and unchanging. What are some unique principles that humans will still need to exhibit, even though this AI continues to change all around us. And that was the main premise for the book, which is these leadership principles to build solid products, even though AI can, you know, continues to change all around us.
You said AI is changing all around us. At first, when the first LLM was thrown into the wild, it was a huge leap from nothing to something as primitive as it was. Are we going to continue to see that delta? And are we inching towards anything closer to artificial general intelligence? Or are we just making these functions in very narrow areas just more advanced? Is like the solution just throwing more data at it? Or is it going to grow any capacity to learn on its own?
Well, my best guess, and this is just based on different sources that I've looked at today, that I believe that LLMs are kind of peaking out in terms of their intelligence and what they can do. There's been a couple of articles I've seen from good sources that have said that all of the data that these LLMs could possibly consume, they've already consumed. And they're starting to get data that is kind of reinforcing these negative outcomes, which is leading to layoffs, AI taking over and exterminating humanity, for example. So there's this negative feedback loop that's going on. In terms of AGI, I've seen at least one report that says that it would be very difficult for LLMs to reach AGI. And the reason why is because AGI assumes that there is deep intelligence in different areas rather than general intelligence across a number of different areas. At least based on the way that LLMs have been trained, I think it would be difficult for them to achieve AGI. That doesn't mean that it's not possible. There could be something maybe a couple of months or a couple of years from now, but at least what I'm seeing so far, I think that AGI with the current LLM approach would be fairly difficult.
Good answer. So tell me a little bit about your book.
Yeah. So this is my first book that I had written. Like I mentioned, I looked for principles that tech PMs, and specifically these are technical project program and product managers, can use to build products, whether they're building products that contain AI functionality or just using AI to inform those product management decisions. So it was the first book that I've written. Prior to this, I've written typical business documents spanning 10, 20 pages or so. The printed copy of this book is just under 200 pages. So it was a challenge to provide very concise information that's also very deep in a few different areas and that provided just enough information for primarily tech PMs to get up to speed on what these principles are.
Yeah. Your title is Beyond AI Models. So what's this bigger principle you want leaders to walk away with?
Yeah. One of the main principles is customer first, why first. And that's key because regardless of the tools that you're using to build your products, it's always putting the customer needs first, understanding who is my customer, why did I identify them as my customer, what are their habits, behaviors, concerns, pain points, and their problems that we're putting first. And also, why are we building something for the customer? What is the solution we hope to build to help them with their needs and goals? And those goals could be anything, whether it's to be entertained, you know, finding the latest movie or show on Netflix, or to play, you know, an online game, or whether it's productivity tools, you know, to help us summarize vast amounts of information to put together, I don't know, a marketing plan or something like that. So one of the principles is customer first, why first, and that's not going to change regardless of whatever tools you use to build your products.
And this really isn't just an AI issue. I think anyone who's trained in a specific discipline, you fall under that issue when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Exactly.
And you're focused on using your tools in the most intelligent way, creating the best solution as you see it. And most of us are subject to this. We're not necessarily client-centric. It's not how we're going to do it. It's how we're going to achieve exactly what the client wants. And I wonder how you shake someone out of that mindset.
Yeah, so for that, the other reason why that principle is important is because I know that tech BMs are under pressure from management to use AI and to build AI into their products. And I think that it's a constant reminder of, you know, just building it doesn't mean that they're going to come. Just building something with AI doesn't mean that customers are going to buy it. So it's really, you know, putting the customer first and why first out there. I think that those are tried and true principles. It's getting out of your seat and going and talking to customers, trying to understand their environment. What are they wrestling with? And also seeing, you know, have they built solutions to solve their current problems? Even if they cobble something together in Excel with macros and they have text files and stuff all over the place, it means that they've invested enough time to solve a problem that they have, which means that that is an important area for them. They've invested time to solve it. So that could be one area where, you know, you and your team can come along and automate more of that to make it even better than some solution that they've cobbled together. So I think those tried and true practices of UX research, getting out, talking to folks, doing, whether it's talking one-on-one or even focus groups, surveys, you know, pros and cons about them, just doing broad customer research. It's that personal human connection to understand what are their true needs, their real problems, and trying to measure, you know, how big are these problems the customers are experiencing? How often are they exhibited during the day?
You mentioned the human touch, and I think that's an interesting conversation because we're all trying to integrate AI into our life so we can scale and be more efficient. But you have this dichotomy where the more you scale and the more you make things systematic and patternized, the more you lose that human touch. What's your suggestion on navigating those waters of being able to grow in numbers and being able to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less while still keeping what's absolutely essential to a growing company is the touch between you and your clients?
So I think it depends on what those touch points are. If it's that deep user research, I think that is still something that could be and should be performed by humans, reaching out and talking to customers. If it is more marketing or advertising information or maybe client briefs, those are things that might be able to be automated to some extent. And I'm probably going to sound a little bit like someone who doesn't believe in technology very much, but I think that some of that outreach could be automated up to a point, but there's still human review that's needed involved because people are getting smarter about determining whether or not text was written by AI or a real human. So for example, whenever I blog, I always write it myself. I may get some tips or hints or just some broad topics to pursue, but I always write all the text myself because it comes across as me and personally me. And I think that if people read things that look that it's been written by AI, you're going to lose their interest very quickly, even if it's just marketing copy or a client brief or something like that. And they're going to think, well, they're not too interested in my business because they're just automating away our relationship, for example. So I think it's a fine line to determine what can we automate, what needs to be deep human involvement, and where do we still want humans to engage, to maybe update and to be involved in that process, which leads towards the AI governance as well.
Yeah. So if someone were to read your book, what would be the one takeaway you'd hope that will stick with them?
One takeaway would be not only the principles, but also thinking end to end about the whole release. And this goes for people who are, you know, creating or instantiating AI for use on their local machines, whether it's ClaudeBot or other agents that they're developing locally. And I would encourage them to think end-to-end about the whole process. A, you know, customer first, why first, who am I building this for, what's the main reason, the problem we're going after, and also the governance around it, you know, the security and privacy. Is this agent running on my local machine, is it going to have full access to all my emails, or is it going to have access to all of my client notes that I've kept detailed about my clients, or am I going to give it access to a whole corporate terabyte database where it can just scan through and do whatever it wants? So I would also encourage people to look at that full AI SDLC, which I talk about in my book, AI Software Development Lifecycle, customer needs, security and privacy, and also, you know, the monitoring and governance after deployment. Again, whether that's an AI agent running locally on your laptop or some agent running in the cloud somewhere, how are you going to manage it and monitor it? How do you know it's producing the intended results? And how do you know it's not doing things that are harmful, either consuming way too much of your budget, or it's sending out dangerous communications to your customers, or whatever it's doing?
And people tend to think that the issue is AI can have malice intention towards us. At the very forefront, it'll probably be more incompetence and ineptitude of where you can have real security issues. It's not like you're getting hacked. It is doing something that is just highly insecure naturally along the way. And it might even be giving you the intended result, but the pathway it takes to get there can be littered with issues.
Exactly. Yeah. So the main point behind the AI governance is that AI isn't responsible for its decisions or actions, which is why you have to build in some amount of governance around almost any AI or any, you know, custom model that you're building.
Right. Well, what's a failure mode you've personally seen where a team had great metrics on paper, but the product still flopped in the real world?
Yeah. So let me give you the inverse of that, where when I was at Amazon, we had an anomaly detection model running in production. Before going to production, you set what's known as a retraining threshold, whereby the model performance should be providing accurate results above that threshold. And along the way, you have people, you know, in the loop who are auditing those results, and they're providing feedback. And you slowly see that the actual performance of the model is trending below that retraining threshold. Well, the model needs to be retrained. The model itself is somehow not processing data as well as what it was when we first deployed it. But there's many different things that could lead to that poor performance. For example, if there are upstream data processing that takes place, you're formatting data or cleaning data and placing it in a correct format before the model even gets it, that could impact the model results as well. It could also be the humans in the loop who are tagging that data. They may not have been trained well enough, or they're just not tagging the data correctly or consistently. That can also make it look like the model is performing more poorly than it actually is. So one issue that I had worked through at a company, the taggers who were tagging the data, they weren't tagging it consistently, and it made it look like the model was performing more poorly than it was. So retraining the taggers, having consistent tagging guidelines, things like that actually resulted in better performance for the model. And we didn't have to invest weeks, if not a month or so, in retraining that particular model. So that's one example of, you know, ongoing governance that's necessary.
So where do you see the role of an AI product manager going in the next 3 to 5 years? And would the life then even resemble what it looks like today?
Yes, let's at least define that so we can extrapolate that out. Today, you have a product manager sitting at the center between the engineering team and customers and other internal stakeholders. And they're responsible for being that bridge between your customers, internal stakeholders, and the engineering team to make sure you're building the right product. There's been a bunch of different teams and even other companies who are suggesting that we completely collapse all of those roles around one role, namely the AI product PM, who is somehow magically going to do all this customer research, all the prototyping, all the vibe coding, and be able to ship production quality code to production that respects all the security and privacy stuff, and be able to do, you know, the AI governance and everything around it. I think that's a little unreasonable. I know that AI, to some extent, can be very smart and can help automate some of those roles, but I don't think that you know, looking forward 3 to 5 years, is going to collapse around a single person owning all development, security, legal, customer outreach, stakeholder management, things like that. That may be possible for very small startups where you have a very focused customer base. But I think beyond that, you're going to run into scaling issues. I think that there's going to be folks who go deep in particular areas, security and privacy, and of course, legal compliance and regulations. They're always going to be needed as well. So I think that you're going to see some role changes as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Craig, how could people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can reach out to me on LinkedIn, or they can go to my website. It's just techpmcareerpath.com.
Great. Craig, it's been an honest pleasure talking with you, and good luck on the book. It sounds like you're onto something big.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.